tears were filling up their glasses. No expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
Yeah, you can clap for that. Thank you, guys. So listen, we are starting a series today called Hey God, Answer This. And what we did is a few months ago is we asked you guys, got the word out as best we could and said, if you had one question, only one, to ask God, what would you ask him? What would be that one question? And we got a bunch of responses and we had the hard job of narrowing it down to four questions that we wanted to wrestle with together. And so today is the beginning of that, is the first one of that. Some hard-hitting questions that we got that we had to weed out that was very difficult. We had some really tough questions like, hey, God, why didn't you make your either the kid's finger bigger or their nostrils smaller? Think about that one. It's a good question. Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Okay, these are some very difficult questions. We didn't do those. We're going to start with perhaps the hardest question of them all. We're going to wrestle with the question of why does evil exist? And the person that wrote this question started out in the theoretical and said, why does evil exist? Why is there anything bad? Why can't everything be good and peaceful? But then they quickly moved into the personal and said, why was I given a horrible disease in me that is passed on to my kids? You likely have your own version of that question. It may sound something like this. God, why did you allow them to suffer that way? Or maybe you ask, God, where were you during the abuse? Or God, why didn't, when I asked that prayer, why didn't you answer the prayer the way I needed you or wanted you or expected you to answer that prayer? If you haven't struggled with a question like that personally, then you've met people that are skeptical because of this issue, because of the problem of evil in their life or in the world. And that argument, it sounds like this. So God is good, right? He's good. Yeah. Thank you. He's good and he's all powerful. And if he's good and he's all powerful, then he's able to remove evil or to thwart evil or to stop evil. Then why doesn't he? Because if I knew someone that was sick and if I had the cure, I would cure them, wouldn't you? Then why won't God? Then why won't God do those same things? This is a tough question, and to be honest with you, I feel very insufficient to answer it. I feel like 30 minutes is very insufficient to answer it. But I'm going to do my best, guys, this morning to talk to you on two levels, because this question has two different levels. It has a head level, and it has a heart level. We want to offer a reasonable explanation for the problem of evil, but ultimately we want to minister to your heart this morning and let you know that there is hope. So let's start with the question, what is evil? What is evil? I heard a story one time of a student that was talking to his professor and they were debating the existence of God. And so the student said, hey, professor, is there such a thing as heat? He said, well, of course there's a thing called heat. And he said, okay, fine. Is there such a thing as cold? And the professor said, well, of course. And he said, no. The student interrupts him and said, there is no such thing as cold. Being cold is simply the absence of heat. You can get hotter and hotter and hotter, and the limit is unlimited because you can always add heat. But there is an absolute zero. There's an absolute low level where there's the absolute removal of heat, and that is cold. Cold is simply the absence of heat. Professor concedes. Then he says, Professor, is there such a thing as light? He said, well, of course there is. I can tell you there is because they're staring at me in the face. By the way, nice job with the lights this week, guys. Thank you very much. I love you. Turn them on. There is such a thing as light. He said, Professor, is there such a thing as darkness? And the professor says, well, of course, every night it gets dark. He says, I'm sorry, Professor, but there is no such thing technically as darkness. See, darkness is simply the absence of light. You can't create darkness. You can only remove light. And in that, in utter removal of light, then you have absolute darkness. By this time, the professor's getting a little gun shy, but the student says, Professor, is there such a thing as evil? The professor knows he's right on this one. He says, well, of course, every day I see it. I see crime. I see violence. I see all kinds of things that tell me there is such a thing as evil. Since this old professor, I believe evil does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. God didn't create evil. It is a result of when man does not have God's love present in his heart. And then you have evil. See, this morning, guys, what you need to understand is evil is the absence of God. And when we look around and see evil in our world today, it is there because God has been removed. And that's how evil exists. Let's not just theorize that. Let's go to the scriptures and prove that. So, in the creation account, if you've got your Bibles, you can look, or on the screens here in Genesis chapter 1, God is creating all that we see. And it says this on verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God gets done with his creation. He looks around. There's nothing hidden from his sight. And everything that he had made and everything that has been made, he looks upon and says, it is what? It's good. It's good. That is not only saying it's beautiful. That's saying it is morally right. It is perfect in its unity. There is no pain and sickness and death or any evil that exists in this moment. God looks across his creation and says, it is good. In fact, God is not only created everything that is good, he is not capable of creating evil. James 1 says that. He says, James 1:13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God did not create evil in order to tempt you and I. God is not the author of evil. In fact, it's against his nature to do so. It's against his nature. In fact, he can't do it. He can't act against his nature. Unlike you and I, we can desire to do the right thing, but we can always do something out of character or out of nature and mess up, screw up. God cannot do that. In fact, that's part of what it means by God being holy. He cannot go against his nature. And so then John could write in 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Isn't that beautiful? There is no evil in God. He did not create evil. He did not manufacture it for us. It's not from God. So the question remains, where does evil come from? Where does it come from? The issue resides, guys, listen very closely. It resides in the way he formed us. It's in the way he formed us, you and I, and the rest of his creation. What do I mean? In Genesis 1:27, it says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So God didn't create evil, but he did create you and I and each one of us with the incredible potential for good and the incredible potential for what? evil, that being bad. That's exactly right. That's how he made us. And think about this. We have the ability to love or to hate. We have the ability to worship the right things or the wrong things. We have ability to reason. We have the ability to be thankful. We have the ability to appreciate beauty, to create and be creative. And we have the ability to choose. We can choose or not choose any of those things. And so the problem of evil has its origin in this problem of choice. And so why did God give us a choice then? Because our biggest problem is also our greatest attribute. It gives us our greatest meaning. Think about it. With the ability to choose, we can choose to love. And when he made us in his image, that was the pinnacle of his creation. He said, I want a people that will choose me, that will love me by choice, not because they have to or are forced to, but because they want to. See, choice is our biggest problem, and it's also our highest achievement. So God created us, the pinnacle of his creation, with choice. 250 times in God's Bible, God is either choosing man, or man is either choosing good and evil. Over and over again, man and women have been given a choice. It started in the very beginning. There was a choice, wasn't there? And Adam and Eve had all the blessings of God and this utopian world, and they had nothing forcing them to do so. There was Lucifer deceiving them, but ultimately they chose evil. And in that moment, everything changed. And the world that they were born into, the world that they knew, is not like the world you and I were born into and the world you and I know. It's been radically altered. In fact, scriptures say when sin entered the world, death entered with it. And with death has come pain and sorrow and suffering and abuse, disease and the rest. Noah chose to seek God when the world around him was rebelling against God. Noah chose God. Abraham chose to follow God from his homeland, traveled hundreds of miles in order to stake his claim in God's promised land. Joshua chose to follow God. Despite what anyone else had done, when they had conquered the land and he was ready to go home and be with God in heaven, he gave this charge to you and I and to the people of Israel in that day. He said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors honored beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites in the land whom you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, good and evil hang in the balance of your choice and your choice and your choice and my choice and the choices of other people that we live among every day. And those choices have consequences. Because Adam and Eve's choice, I mean, the destruction that we saw in those pictures, you may not think of it in these terms, but the crud that is hitting the fan today is a direct result of their sin thousands of years ago. You do realize that, right? And the cumulative effect of sin from generation to generation to generation, it is piling up, and it gives us a world like we have today. So we're living in plan B, guys. And you wonder, why is there evil in this world? Can I tell you, this is not the world God had created. And this is not the world he intended for you and I. Now, he wasn't surprised. Let me get this theologically right. He wasn't surprised. But we are not living where we're supposed to live. We are aliens and foreigners in this world, the scriptures say. And the good news of the scripture, the plan of God is such that this whole thing is going to get fixed. And one day we will live in a world, if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we'll live in a day that is perfect. With all good and no evil. And God says, evil will be conquered. Praise God. Now, I know that was quick, and I feel it's insufficient, but I hope that is that's a reasonable explanation for our minds. And so when things hit us and stuff happens and we wonder why, God, then that is why, that's the reason why. But not only do we need an answer for our heads, we need comfort for our hearts, practical things for our hearts when evil exists among us. Because not only are we asking about evil, usually we ask it this way: why does evil happen to me? Why does it happen to those I love? Why do horrible things happen to innocent little kids? Those are legitimate questions. Man, I get tired of reading the news feed on my Twitter account. It's like every week there's another one. And some mom in Texas, I think it was Texas or California, they've had 8 kids that were in bad shape, and 2 of them she had them tied up in the backyard. And you just think, why, God? Why does this stuff have to happen like this? And it breaks my heart. And I wonder, God, will you ever put an end to suffering? And then I take heart and I realize he will. That evil is a temporary thing. That evil has a shelf life. And one day it will be completely removed. And my heart rejoices. In fact, I love this passage. It's one of my favorites. In Revelation 21, it's right at the end of your Bible. It says, God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Is that a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father making sense of our pain, but more than that, comforting us in our pain? And the reason he can do that is death will be no more, sickness will be no more, suffering will be no more, and all that is wrong in this world will be made right. Wow. And he'll sit down with you, and he'll sit down with me, and he'll let us cry for the pain we've gone through. And then he'll take his finger and he'll wipe every tear off your cheek. Is that a beautiful picture of how God feels about you, about his final victory over sin and death and hell and evil? How a gracious Heavenly Father he is. Until that day. So that's what we get to look forward to. But until that day, our hearts still struggle to make sense of these things. And so I want to share a passage with you that hopefully the Lord will use to minister to your heart this morning. It's found in Isaiah 49. It's just one of those pictures, just like Revelation 21 is one of those pictures where God comforts us in our hurt in the midst of evil. It says this. It says, shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Why should we sing and shout and have joy when evil arises among us? Because God, did you see what it says? Because God will comfort those people. He will comfort us in those moments. Comfort means you come near. You can't comfort from far away, can you? Comfort means you draw close. Comfort means I get next to you. Comfort means I hold you. Comfort means I am with you and present among you when you are in pain and suffering. God says, I come to comfort you, to strengthen you in those moments. And then he also said, I'll have compassion. That's a beautiful word. Compassion means with pain. He says, I will hurt when you hurt. And when you're sad, I'll be sad. And when you cry, I'll cry. And I will share in the same pain that you share in, because I have already done so on a cross. That's how much I love you. And then the passage goes on to say this. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Now Zion is another name for Israel, or the people of Israel. It's metaphorically the people of God. And what it's saying is this. When we're in that moment where evil has arisen, and when we've been suffering and we're not where we want to be, the temptation of God's people is to do this. It is to think, God has left me. God doesn't love me. God is not for me. That is the temptation that we feel. That's the emotion that we have to deal with. But the truth is not that. In fact, let's keep reading. Let's go what God says. He says to that, his response is, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God says, as my people, I haven't abandoned you. When hardship comes, when evil raises its head, I haven't left you. Your emotions may tell you one thing, but the truth of the matter is, if everyone else leaves, if mama leaves, if everyone else abandons you, I never will. I will be near to you. I will show you compassion. And so God chooses. We had a choice. God's choice is, when you hurt, I come running. And he chooses to meet us in our affliction. And when evil is present, God brings comfort. And this is so amazing to think about. The only thing, but the great thing, that evil is undone by is God's compassion. There is not an evil that exists that God's compassion cannot and will not overwhelm. There is not a trial that you're facing that God cannot meet you in and give you the strength to keep going. There's not a loss that you've suffered that God cannot come in and be close and near to you in such a way that you experience love and acceptance. And his love, his great love for us, overwhelms the evil in this world. Suffering is overshadowed by God's mercy. And if dealing with this evil world ushers in the presence of God in our lives, if we let it. Now, step back for a second. If you and I were designing this whole thing, we wouldn't have done it this way. We wouldn't have allowed evil to exist. But God in his wisdom, whose ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, he has chosen to allow it to exist for his purposes. And you say, well, I'm not so sure about that, and I don't agree with that. But just look at the results of that. Because of that, God is near. Because of that, God is present. Because of that, God is comforting. Because of that, God is showing mercy and compassion. And that's what you and I all crave and were created for. The presence of God in our lives. In fact, the scripture says this, Romans 8:28, you may know this one. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God doesn't say that everything in this world is good. The Bible is true to itself and it's true to life. There is wickedness and evil. But God says, listen, even the wickedness and this evil in this world, I can and I will use for good. Deepening your character, deepening your relationship with me, if you will let me. And that's a big if, isn't it? My question this morning is, are you there? Are you ready to let God take your pain and replace it with that promise? You and I can have that perspective today. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience and know God's comfort in our lives. We can know it now. It's available today. In fact, we're going to wrap this service up in a minute, and we're going to have counselors at the back. And I'm begging you, if you are struggling with this, if you're wrestling with issues in your life, don't wait. You go to them, and they'll pray with you, and they'll seek God's comfort for you together. See, where your head and your heart meet, it's called your will. You familiar with that? It's a place where you choose. It's where you take your thoughts and your emotions and you smash them together and you go, okay, now that I have all this in consideration, what will I do? And the choices are simply this. You have two choices. Because evil exists. We can either blame God or we can trust God. Those are your only two choices. with the problem of either. We are either going to blame God and say, God is responsible, He is the author of evil, He has not intervened, and the hurt and the pain that I experience is His fault. Or we can trust God and say, God is there to comfort me and even redeem the hurt and the pain that I feel in this broken world in such a way that He will use it for good. Now, to illustrate that, I just want to, I've asked Jill Brookshire to come up. Isn't she lovely? Yeah. Jill plays keyboards often for our worship team, and I've asked her to prepare, first of all, you know, that I asked her for the technical term and I didn't have them. So there's the white keys and the black keys. I call them the happy keys and the sad keys. You with me? And so I want you to play a little bit on the happy keys, on the white keys there, and show us what the happy keys sound like. Oh. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Now, play us. You did some chords in there and everything? All right, give me some sad key stuff. Hear the difference? Happy and sad, uplifting and more melancholy. You hear it? Am I crazy? You hearing it? Okay. I am crazy. Thank you. Now, I've asked her to play a song, but I want her to only play this song with the happy keys. Jill, can you? It's a song you may know. You might be able to guess it. You guys know what it is? What is it? Silent Night. That's right. And even though we recognize it, it's off, right? It's not quite right because that's only the happy keys. Joe, can you play it with all the keys now? Let's hear Silent Night. God brings happy keys and sad keys together to make something beautiful in music, right? And He takes the good things in our life and the hardship and the evil of this world and He blends them together to make something beautiful in you and I. To make something beautiful in His church and to make something beautiful. Because listen, the most beautiful music in the universe is when people who live in a broken world that has both good and evil in it, choose to love and follow God. Not to escape the evil, but despite the evil, they still believe that God is good. That is beautiful. Thank you, Jill. Give her a hand, will you? So my question this morning is, can you trust God? Can you trust that He is good despite what you see and despite what you feel? That God can be trusted. See, it's called faith. And it's seeing beyond what our eyes see and what our hearts feel to know that there is a God who loves us and who is good. And so this morning, you might need to declare that you've wrestled with that, you've struggled with that, but this morning you need to declare for no one else but other than yourself, I will choose to trust God despite the evil in this world, despite the evil that I see. For you this morning, the application may be that you need to grieve and cry over the evil that has been a part of your life and let God heal you and comfort you and come close to you and be near you this morning. Maybe you need to trust God in such a way that you won't push Him away, but you will call on His name. And maybe the reason you've never said yes to a relationship with God is this very thing, this idea of evil. And you've realized this morning that God has spoken to your heart that you don't need to be blaming Him anymore. You need to start trusting Him. And the first thing you want to trust Him with is your life. And maybe you want to declare to God, I'm no longer going to blame you for the evil that I've endured. I'm going to come running to you. I'm going to come seeking you that you might give me the comfort that you promise. Like I said, we're going to pray and then we're going to sing. But before that, I want to tell you, there's going to be counselors in the back and they're going to be ready for you to come pray with you. So this morning, please take advantage of that and ask God to heal you this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we praise you that you are a guiding light in a world of darkness and hurt and pain, that there's hope found in Jesus Christ, that he came to deal with death, and he came to deal with sin, and he came to deal with evil. And even though we live in the world of the not quite yet, that it's not fully redeemed, that one day it'll be done. One day evil will be destroyed. Satan will be forever in his place. And God, you will reign among your people forever. Oh God, would you comfort your people with those thoughts? And Lord, we long for that day, but also we need your comfort today. And so, Father, I pray that you come running to the hurting this morning. God, you come and bring compassion to those that have been carrying a load that they were never meant to carry. God, I pray that you would work among us this morning and set us free from evil and its effects. In Jesus' name, amen.